The Truck and Driver podcast is sponsored by Fortune Tires, who manufacture high-quality, durable tires designed for operators who are looking for exceptional value across every application. Fortune Tires is proud to partner with International Tires, the exclusive distributor of their truck tires in the UK. For more info, visit internationaltires.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tires.
Hello and welcome to the Truck and Driver podcast. It's Matt Ireland. I'm at Kelsall Steam Rally for the very first time. And what I thought might be interesting for the listener is to go around and have a little chat with various people who are here to give those that aren't here a little inside view into what's going on over the weekend. So at the moment, I'm sat with my good friend Ian Moxham. Hello Ian, how are you doing?
Morning Matt. Yeah, doing good actually.
Excellent.
Throat's a bit on the dodgy side.
Yeah, too much talking.
Too much shouting at these lorry drivers.
They will never learn.
No, they won't. No.
So, your day-to-day job, who do you work for?
I'm a driver for Mason Brothers at Swindon.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Mostly potatoes?
Mostly potatoes. It's mostly produce.
Yep.
With the odd bits of other stuff thrown in here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, whatever needs moving, really.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Are they still going to Europe, or is that all finished now? So you used to, didn't they?
They still do a little bit of it.
Yeah.
I don't do any of it.
Yeah.
I prefer to stay this side of the water.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they still do a bit, as and when.
Yeah, that's nice to hear.
Yeah.
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 So you're involved with REVS.
Yes.
Which is who, exactly?
REVS stands for Register of ERF Vehicle Society.
Okay, yeah.
Now, we had to change the name to ERF Historic Vehicles Limited when we became a limited company.
Okay.
Because the REVS name was already registered.
Ah, okay.
So we picked a name, well, Companies House suggested the name to us.
Yeah.
So we went with that.
Right, okay.
So we are ERF Historic Vehicles Limited, REVS.
Right, okay.
So people still know who we are.
Yeah. So it's a nation, well, I suppose a worldwide register.
Yeah, we have members, England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, Southern Ireland. We have members in Holland, New Zealand. I think we've still got one in America.
Yeah.
And we've got two or three in Malta.
Oh, okay. Which stands to reason, there's quite a few out there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Any in France or Spain, or is it?
No, there's none in France, there's none in Spain.
Yeah, because ERF were exported.
Yeah.
Reasonably popular.
They had a decent market in Spain.
Spain seemed very popular for them.
Yeah, they did quite well in Spain, especially if they'd got the big 525s in them.
Yeah.
They quite like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when I used to go to Madrid, there was always an Olympic with a bulk powder tanker parked in the parking area at the CTM that I used to go to.
Right, yeah.
It was there for years and years. It's still working as far as I know, so I don't know if it's still there or not. So what's your role been this weekend? Because you've been here since...
I've been here a week ago yesterday.
So you got here Monday?
Saturday before.
Really? So the Gaydon weekend, you were up here...
We were here setting up.
Starting to set up.
Yeah, we rolled in here 10 o'clock Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Caravan set up, and then we start getting stuck in.
Yeah.
We mow lines in.
Okay.
Physically mow them in. So they've got to be marked with a rope, measured and marked with a rope, and then mown.
Yeah.
And as the field is a quarter of a mile long, and we have 8 rows, by the time we've finished, we've mown 2.5 miles.
Yeah.
Okay, it's only one cut.
Yeah.
But it still takes 3/4 of a day.
Yeah. And, I mean, this area is now known as Sandbach Way, isn't it? So, obviously, historically, there's been quite a connection with, I guess, REVS and the Kelsall Steam Rally. Because how long has Kelsall actually been going? I didn't think it had been that long, but it's been a while now, hasn't it?
I think this is the 24th year.
Right.
I'm sure Marie said on Tuesday that this was 24.
I mean, going by sort of in steam rally sort of ages and stuff, it's still quite a young show, isn't it? When you look at a lot of the other ones, it is still reasonably new.
Yeah, it's, yeah, you know, and it's not got a huge steam section.
No.
It's quite big, but it's not, compared with other rallies, it's not a massive steam rally.
Yes.
But in terms of commercial vehicles, it's huge.
It is. I think there's around 600 trucks here, I think, this weekend, ranging from brand spanking new trucks right through to, there's a Foden steam truck, isn't there?
Yes.
One of French's.
Yes.
Which I don't actually know what year it is, but it's, that's got to be knocking on 100 years old now, I would say.
Yeah, I would think it is, actually, yeah, yeah, because ERF started in 1933,
yeah,
and that was mainly due to the fact that Edwin Richard didn't like the fact that the family firm Foden's wouldn't move to diesel from steam.
From steam, right.
So ERF has always been diesel,
yeah,
right from the beginning. So I would think that Foden steamer is 1920s.
Got to be, isn't it?
Got to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful looking thing, it really is.
It is.
So this, by an awful long chalk, has got to be the biggest gathering of ERFs in the world. They can't be anything bigger.
We go to other shows and rallies.
Yeah.
And we normally get about 30.
Yeah.
30 to 40 ERFs at a show. But here it just goes ballistic.
Yeah. So how many have we got here this weekend?
275.
275.
That is a new record.
Yeah.
The previous record was 253.
Yeah.
I mean, we had 214 here on Friday night.
Flipping heck.
So
before the show had officially even started.
Yes. They just kept coming.
Yeah.
One after the other through the gate.
What's more amazing is the fact that ERFs aren't made anymore, so it's not like you're going to have newer ones, unless they find something in a barn, for argument's sake.
Yeah.
They're not producing them anymore, so your numbers aren't likely to increase, are they?
Well, if you think that the newest one out there is a 2008.
Yeah. So that's starting to knock on towards 20 years old, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the oldest one is a 1934.
Yeah.
So, which is the... There's only two ERFs older than it that we know still survive.
Yeah. So that's a really, really early one.
Yes.
There's a few other rare ones as well, isn't there? Is it a Dorman
V8? Yeah, there's one down there with
so
a Dorman.
So it's not just Scania with a V8?
No. You can drive an ERF and still have a big V8 badge. Yeah.
They're quite a rare thing, I think you said, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very rare. That's the only... There's only two that we know of.
Yeah.
That's the only one we know that's fully restored.
Yeah. I mean, do you know what sort of numbers they made them with that engine, or is that a bit too difficult to find out?
It could... Well, without delving into the chassis records, you could find it out. But they were very... They weren't as popular as the Gardner, but they were only put in the M series.
Right, okay, so shortish run.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So they didn't have a very long lifespan.
Yeah.
They were a bit thirsty.
Right. Yeah.
As compared to a Gardner.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, when you're looking at fuel economy, that's not what you want, is it?
No. So, no.
Yeah, and I don't think there was a big V8 following back then, as much as what there is now.
No, I don't think there was, to be honest.
But there's, and it's nice, as you come into what's known as Sandbach Way, you've actually put together a lineup of basically the evolution of ERF, haven't you? From that, was it 1934 ERF?
Yeah.
Right through to it is the very, very last ERF ever produced, isn't it?
Yes.
With the ECT?
ECT.
Yeah, with the MAN cab, basically, isn't it?
Yeah. So we've got the common models.
Yeah.
So there's CI, KV, LV, A, B, C, E, EC, ECX, ECT.
Yeah.
The Morrison's ECX that's in the line,
yeah,
that is officially ERF number 100,000.
Yeah.
But its chassis number is 100,063.
Okay.
Because ERF started
at
chassis number 63.
Why do they start at 63? Is that
because that was ERF's age at the time he started the company.
Right.
And he didn't want to look like a new start.
Yeah.
So he thought, well, if I make it look like I've already built 62 of these things,
yeah,
people will think we're a bit more established.
Okay.
And we're not,
yeah,
new at this.
Yeah.
So the first one, which is affectionately known as number one,
yeah,
is actually chassis number 63.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bit of pub quiz trivia.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
And that lives in Leyland, in the British Transport Museum.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
And it's almost, it's, without wanting to sound a bit harsh to the owner of number 100,000, it's a very fleet spec truck, isn't it? Whereas,
yeah,
it's not like, you think perhaps a manufacturer for number 100,000 would put the biggest cab with the biggest engine, all the bells and whistles, but it was just one that went into Morrison's fleet.
Morrison's was a very important customer.
Yeah.
They had quite a fleet of ERFs at the time.
Yeah.
They weren't ERF's biggest customer.
Yeah.
But they were, and there was a big batch of ERFs going through for Morrison's at the time.
Yeah.
And it ended up,
it just so happened.
Yeah.
It's nice that it survived as well, because
yes,
fleet spec stuff like that tends to go off onto a boat to sunnier climes,
yeah,
very quickly,
yeah,
doesn't it? Which is a shame, but
it soon vanishes.
Yeah, absolutely. So how many trucks do you actually have booked in?
There were 307 booked in.
Yeah.
We usually work on the basis that 10% of those won't come.
Yeah, you're always going to get people pull out for one reason
there'll
or another.
Be medical reasons, mechanical reasons.
Yeah, plenty of reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you're never going to get them all.
No, but there's the potential there for breaking that 300 barrier at some point. Possibly.
And there is still a little room on the field.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe one year.
Yeah, you
know,
never know.
It would be nice.
It would, yeah.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
I think we are, I'm pretty sure that it's got to be the largest single make gathering.
Yeah.
In one place,
quite possibly. Yeah,
I know there are other events that deal with other manufacturers.
Yeah,
but I don't think they quite get as many as what we've got here today.
No, no, I don't think they do. And people have come from far and wide, haven't they? I mean,
oh God, yes.
I think Scott's come down from Fraser, hasn't he?
Yeah, but we've got one from Borah.
Yeah,
which is above Inverness.
Yeah,
Angus has come down from there. We've got one or three from Sussex.
Yeah.
We have them from West Wales.
Yeah.
We've got some from Norfolk.
Yeah.
East Yorkshire, as well as quite a lot from Cheshire.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've come a long, long way to be here.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing.
It
really is.
I mean, as I said at the start, this is my first year here, and I've just been blown away by how big and good it is. And I guess that's probably what the pull, and because of that, the more people come and naturally make it bigger, the more exciting.
We also have one from Southern Ireland.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there's normally quite a large Irish contingent come. This year there doesn't appear to be in the other field so many of them.
Yeah.
But it just, where they all come from, the distances some of these people travel to be at this, there's something about this rally that just drags them here.
Yeah, and there's even ERFs that aren't on the stand; they're out and about in the in the commercial section as well.
Yeah, there's two or three round the steamers, but to be part of the gathering, if you like, then we say they must be on this grass on our field.
Yes,
Else you could start saying, oh, well, there's one in that farm that counts.
Exactly, yeah, you can't do that.
No, they've got to be together.
Yeah.
So else you just get, it gets a bit silly.
Yeah. So I take it, obviously, the breakdown at the end of the day will be a damn sight quicker for you to actually get home and... or will it?
getting out of this event is not that easy, but
no.
we're not going home while tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the pack-up is very quick in comparison to the setup.
To the setup, yeah.
I mean, once we start putting the stand up, that's a day and a half's job.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a 5-minute job.
No.
I know there are people out there that think it just happens.
Yes.
But it doesn't.
Oh, you put all this up in a day easily, not a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. When you actually get involved with something, then you realise just...
And there's a team of, I think there's 14 of us.
Yeah.
There's four marshals. At a normal rally, I do the marshalling parking myself.
Yes.
But here, I have some very, very good help.
Yeah.
And there's three dedicated marshals that help me.
Yeah.
Just to make my life easy.
Yeah. And you are all volunteers as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Nobody's getting paid for this.
Nobody's getting paid.
Yeah.
We do it for the love.
Yeah, you're getting all this stick for free.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. Yeah, we get free insults.
Yeah. So if anyone listened to this, we'd like to find out more about Revs, if they've not heard about them before. Where's the best place to go? Is it someone like Facebook, the socials, or...?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page.
Yeah.
ERF Historic Vehicles Limited.
Yeah.
And we have website, and right off the top of my head, Matt, I can't remember what
I suppose if they Google
if they Google
ERF Revs or something,
it'll come up. Yeah.
And of course, other search engines are available. I should.
Well, they are.
Know, so I'm sure somebody still uses Ask Jeeves out there somewhere.
Probably, yeah, yeah. Or you know, if they once they find us on Facebook, on the and on the web, they can just drop us a line.
Yeah.
We can do it,
yeah.
You know. Or if they want to pop along today,
yeah,
and join, we've membership forms on the stand.
Yeah,
there's merchandise, ERF shirts, jackets,
you name it. Yeah,
they've got it on the stand.
Yeah,
I don't get involved with sales.
Fair enough.
I do the manual bits.
Yeah,
I can keep out of the way then.
Yeah. Right. So one more question before I let you go: is there any, let's say, particular ERF that you would like to have here that you haven't? Any special one, or maybe like the mark as such?
There is one down the field.
Yeah.
That I drove for 3 years when I worked for Jack Richards.
Yeah.
And I suppose if I could take any of them home,
yeah,
that may just be the one I would choose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What model is it?
It's a C-Series.
C-Series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1986.
Yeah.
It's been fully restored.
Is it in Jack Richards colours?
No, it's been put into ERF demonstrated colours of the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think if any, that would probably
that
one.
That would be the one.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, because of the fact that it
sentimental
was, it was my lorry for 3 years.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Is that where your love of ERF came from? Was that your first ERF? Did you have many before?
I used to go on family holidays to Norfolk.
Yeah.
In the days when Fakenham wasn't bypassed.
Right.
So we always went through,
yep,
through Fakenham. And that took you directly past Jack Richards Yard.
Yeah.
And one day, Dad just happened to turn right and not left.
Yeah.
And unbeknown to me, he'd been in touch with Jack. And I would be about, I don't know, 10 or 11.
Yeah.
And Jack's yard then was just full of ERFs.
Yeah.
And I became very good friends with Jack. And I think that's probably where it stems from.
Yeah.
You know.
Pretty much lifelong then, isn't it?
I'm afraid I'm pretty well afflicted.
Yeah. There's no cure, unfortunately.
No, there's no cure. No, that's it. I've had it.
Yeah, you're doomed.
Doomed. Yeah. But, well, I must be doomed because the club started in 1988.
Yeah.
We had our first rally in 1989 at Market Drayton. And then we had another one in 1990, and then we moved to Banbury, and we used to just do one a year, and then we used to do a few more.
Yeah.
But in 91, I marshalled my first rally at Banbury.
Yeah.
And then in the September, went on the committee.
Yeah.
Then when it became a company, we were all changed from committee members to directors.
Yeah.
So I've been on the committee since 1991.
So 34 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got it bad.
You have.
Yeah, like you say, I'm doomed.
Yes, you are. Yeah. No help.
Yeah. No, you can't get tablets for it.
No.
No, definitely not.
Well, that's brilliant, Ian. Well, I really appreciate your time, because I know how busy you are, as we've just found out for today. So I should let you get back to doing your thing. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Keeping an eye on them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, you want to watch. When they start leaving, it's just...
carnage.
Can be.
Yeah. Well, I'll keep an eye out.
Okay, Matt.
Lovely. Thanks a lot, mate.
Thanks, Matt.
Ta-da.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Right, next up on the list, we've got roving editor at large, Dougie, and Niall. I've collared them for a quick chat as well, as they're both here. So how are we doing, gents?
Not too bad. How's yourself?
Yeah, I'm all right. Dougie?
Yeah, it's good to be back at Kelso. Yeah, it hardly seems like a year at all since we were last here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the time's just flowing in. And yet again, it's one of the best shows in the calendar for variety. There's hundreds of ERFs here. Spoken to a couple of people regarding the British special, getting things organised for that. Brandon Jinks down there with his ERF ECX. Well, he's got two of them here. His dad also drives one, and we're going to be featuring them just shortly in the magazine.
Yeah.
There's some really rare, unusual stuff. There's two Detroit diesel ECs here, and there's, what was that thing? A Dorman V8?
Dorman V8 Rigid.
Yeah.
With a mid-mounted gearbox.
Yeah.
Which is, I think Ian had said there's three known of, I think it is. So, yeah, there's certainly a lot of variety, even just ERF alone, isn't there? I mean, then you go wandering over the more modern commercials as such, and there's some lovely restorations over there, a few lovely old DAFs and some great-looking Volvos.
Yeah, I noticed the Newsom, the light green-coloured lorries.
Yeah.
Which have got Kelso on them, so I take
it... This is his farm.
This is his farm,
his farm and show, yeah.
He's got a Mercedes tractor unit.
Yep.
I think it might have... He's got something like a donkey engine on a tipping trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a Listed engine, tandem axle tipping trailer, and there was nobody about because I wanted to ask the question about it. I'm like, what is that for? Why would you have a donkey engine on a rib-sided tipping trailer?
Probably just an old tipping trailer before a lot of things had PTO.
Before PTO, yeah. So that must be to go and lift the trailer then.
Yeah. That was a common thing back in the day. And then, I remember years ago when I first started doing Sugar Beet, there were signs up saying no donkey engines, they weren't allowed. And I think at ADMs at ERF was the same. So, I mean, I can't imagine anybody now in the UK is running with a donkey engine, which will cue the... emails or text messages saying, I'm still running one.
Yeah, I wonder about that one now, because the lorry that's on it is newer. It's quite a late model Mercedes SK.
Yeah.
But the trailer's obviously a lot older now. Mm. It's like, I'm missing a tipper with an engine on it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got quite a few things as new. So he was here last year. He's had the Mercedes. I do like that one, because he's got the power liner on the visor.
Yeah.
I'm quite keen for an old Merc. Then he had a DAF 2800 here last year with a tilt on.
Yeah. Well, that DAF is now in his shed.
Mm.
It's been recabbed, I believe. It's now a space cab. I think, if it's the same one. Because he's also got a 164, I think it is, or a 144. There's a 4 Series top line in his colours, a 143, an old cattle float, which I can't remember what it is. So he seems to have quite a collection himself. I think he'd be an interesting man to chat to.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I was kind of loitering about the lorries for a bit, but there was nobody about them at the time.
Mm.
Yeah, there was someone else. There was an old Merc 1418 just along that row as well, with a really old Hiab at the back of the cab as well.
Mm.
And what else is down the row? The Bedford TM left-hand drive, which has got a Detroit diesel badge on it saying 470 horsepower.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know they went that high with them, but maybe it's been tuned up to that.
Yeah, this maybe.
I know that in Italy they had some higher output Detroits
because
they seem to like the TM in that spec for whatever reason.
Yeah.
If you want to see like variety of stuff, because they've got, what is it? It's tractor pulling.
Yeah.
Did you go and watch some of that?
Watched a couple of bits. It's only like over the head from here, so even if you're not watching it, you just hear the engine back up and see the smoke go by.
Yeah.
And you know, depending on how far it's made it down the track, depends on how it's good, but it's. I like the show because it has everything. It's got steam engines, it's got cars, bikes, there's modern stuff, there's ERFs. I think at the last count there was 270 ERFs out of 300 that booked in.
Yep.
So, not doing bad.
No, not bad at all. And the sled for the tractor pulling is 14 tonnes. And somebody's forgot to put their phone on silent.
Wasn't me.
But the sled is 14 tonne because some lad actually had a Land Rover Discovery pulling it without the weight, the cat weight moving, but it actually dragged 14 ton down the track yesterday, which was, I thought, very impressive, really.
Mm.
Lawnmower racing as well, which I still haven't seen. I have my drone up and I've watched it from a drone, but I want to go and watch that at least one race on the lawnmower race.
They were bombing up and down here this morning. I don't know what. Well, like I say, the track's only over there, so they're probably just on the way.
Yeah, and I found a diesel motorbike as well, which I was telling Dougie about before we sat down, which it's doing 220 miles to the gallon, which is sort of fleet operator's dream, really, isn't it? But that's at a maximum speed of 45 miles an hour, which that can't be a lot of fun. Well, you can't go on a motorway for stars because it's below the legal speed limit. So
I can't imagine. I mean, imagine the vibration of that. diesel motorbikes. Yeah, I can see why they never related to it. And you think now, though, with modern technology, how smooth diesel engines could be, the hundreds and hundreds of miles per gallon you could potentially get out one, but diesel has been demonised for all that sort of stuff.
That'd be an interesting concept for a motorbike company to actually take on, wouldn't it, to try and develop a diesel engine nowadays, for one.
Yeah, well, of course, they've stopped developing them for cars and all that. Now, you could be getting 100 miles per gallon out. Cars, no problem these days, but
yeah,
it's all come to a halt, unfortunately. What else would you see here? You've got the traction engines, and they all go out and run around the arena there as well. Do they not have like sheepdogs and things as well?
I think they've got some horses, the Shire horses, I think. But there's a falconry. I don't know if the falcons are actually a display or just there in the shed. I can't remember what else, really. I went and looked around the steam engines, also the miniature ones as well, which are like one third of the size.
Static engines.
They're stationary. Yeah, they're not my cup of tea, a stationary engine. Just sort of sitting there chugging away. It's interesting for about 5 seconds and then, that's it sort of thing. But I do like the steam engines, especially where I went to school in Leiston. That was one of its most famous exports, was Garrett Works, which produced steam engines back in the day, and you used to go during school time, go and look around the old Garrett Works. So that was always interesting. They have a few steam runs out of there, so I've always had a soft spot for a steam engine, but they're just rather large and cumbersome. But there's quite a few Foden ones here actually, and French's have got a lovely little steam tractor unit.
Oh yeah, I saw them. I think they just fired that up earlier on. Yeah, French from Cumnock.
Yeah, that smells lovely as well. Smells of old engineering.
Can't beat the smell of a steam engine.
No,
they're dangerous enough that they're fun.
Yeah,
like it's boiling hot. It could kill me at any moment, but I'm still going to stand on it and drive it for a day.
Yeah, and if I put my fingers or hands anywhere near anything, there's a good chance I'm going to lose them.
Yeah.
But the miniature ones, speaking to my mate, I don't know how they go about building them, whether there's an actual company that manufactures them.
You can subscribe to, remember years ago when you used to get like the mail order magazines, like every month they send you a bit.
Yeah.
You can still do that with the miniatures. Like I think, I can't remember, I ain't got a lot to do with them, but I think it takes you like maybe a year or 2 years to build and you sort of like subscribe to it. But you can road register a miniature, believe it or not.
Yeah, I see a few of them and we chat to one of them and he said he's just got it registered to go on the road.
Yeah, you still have to get it boiler tested, like a big one and that, and you have to do a steam engine exam. But then the steam engine exam is the only driving exam you can do where the guy testing you does not need the relevant license. He just needs to watch you drive it, and it's like, yeah, you know what you're doing. Yeah. Back on.
Ah, fair. Where on earth would you actually do that then?
Honestly, do not know.
I can just imagine turning up at a DVSA test site in a steam engine. That'd be pretty good.
Yeah,
the emergency stop would be fairly simple, I would have thought, because you're going to struggle to get up to a lot of speed, although they don't actually do the...
Well, they don't have brakes, do they? You just sort of like put it in reverse and make the engine slow down.
Yeah, hope for the best. But there's been some really good stuff here. It really has, so it's we're getting towards the end of it now, and it's going to be a bit busy getting out of here from what I gather. That's going to be the only downside.
I've got a photo shoot this evening. I've got Chris Atkinson's Merck Power line up. We're going to see over by Boston, and then John Nels Foden tomorrow, which is here.
Yeah,
as well for the British issue that's coming up. So busy week because it's RTX next week and I'm at that, and then I'm going to see Scania's 11 litres engine launch as well.
Yeah,
it's a new 5-cylinder thing. So yeah, super busy week coming up. Of course, I was out the road as well last week with Money Acres. I did a week with them in an R500.
Yeah,
Scania tag doing oversized porta cabins.
How did that go?
Yeah, it was fine, eh?
Yeah.
Got all the way up to a substation site, was escorted up the way Carsray, up in Argyll. heading towards Campbelltown.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the escort guy was good. Roads weren't busy, so got through that all right. Two loads of steel pilings up to Blairgowrie. One of them had, had to mark the overhangs up with it. And then I was away down to Kent with an inlet flange for a reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a fair old run all the way down there. And then back up to Birmingham loading galvanised fixings. And that was me done on Friday. So a really good week. I was pleased that they asked me to come out and do some holiday cover for them. So, yeah.
That's handy.
Challenging work, and I mean, I'll say that. Like, I'm looking forward to getting back and doing some tanker work. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Just, you know, hook up the pipe.
Yeah. You've got to think about it so much.
Yeah, there's no dwangs or overhangs or ratchet strapping or anything like that.
Yeah. So have you got some sort of penciled in, have you? Some tanker work?
Or? No, well, when I'm at RTX, I'm going to have the list of demonstrators, then I can decide what I'm going to. Gonna get for all of that, from all of the various manufacturers. Once that's out of the way, and then I'll go and see what work I can go and do with them. Yeah, I'll go and get some tanker work done. Hopefully, if Shuttleworth would like me to come and do that, I'll see what else. See what else is out there as well regarding some work. But I bet I need to get back onto the magazine as well and write some articles and get some things organised as well after my 2 months worth of full-time driving that I just did there. It's been a good weekend.
Yeah.
It has been good, and it's good to finally meet up with Niall as well after the last two attempts at this place where we were both here and never met.
I was still in bed hungover the last time he tried to meet me here.
Well, that's very easily done because it is a rather large beer tent.
I didn't even make it to the beer tent last night. We got halfway down, and then we seen a guy here with a bright yellow Peterbilt, and we're having a look round, talking to him, and I had a look into it, and it was one of them, you know, people say the blind spots in American trucks are terrible. I didn't realise they were that terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've just one thing that have never massively appealed to me is the American trucks.
I'd like to have a go in one, but I won't want to run one.
Yeah.
America, you know, I'd like to drive one in America or Canada. Here, challenging, like, you're struggling to get rid of some of those rigids round junctions, get them out, because they're longer than the tractor units are longer than some of our rigids.
I was chatting to the guy, he said there's only a 389 with like a standard 389 sleeper on. He said it's 30 foot long.
Turn and circle of the Titanic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, double drive as well.
Yeah, flipping egg. Yeah, no, that's not really for me. And driving a bonnet truck in this country is bad enough. I've done that, and it's just, and a left hand drive one at that, just coming up the roundabout that you can't see, and you can't get anywhere near the white line because of your bonnet. Mm. It's just a massive pain. So maybe a cab over wouldn't be quite so bad, but I think I'll just stick to a comfortable European motor for now, I think. Unless someone offers me a little spinning one, that, you know, certainly wouldn't say no.
You can do what I did, buy an English motor with an American driveline in it and have the best of both worlds.
Could do, I would love a classic, but I haven't got the space or the money at the moment, unfortunately. After just buying a house, I'm...
Helps if you're VAT registered, if you're going to muck about the lorries.
Mm.
That's how I ended up going VAT registered, and I bought the Foden because I was going to put it in the road. I've never come off being VAT registered.
Yeah.
It's a bit more to do with accounting, but it does mean that if you ever buy tools or equipment and all that, you get the VAT back on it.
Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah, well, everybody I invoice is VAT registered anyway, so they don't care one way or the other. Right? It's like if you're dealing with Joe Public,
when
it becomes an issue. So.
Absolutely.
Aye, but you've got some good. We've been looking through. Niall's got a collection of cassette tapes in the lorry that he bought as a job lot. So he's got Don Williams to keep him company in the belt the road.
Yeah.
Along with some AC/DC, ZZ Top,
Bon Jovi,
Sea Hags, 10 points of anybody.
Poison.
There.
Heart.
Class.
A lot of rocking out.
It's still got the original radio in here from. It still says Clarion on the front of the tape deck.
Yeah.
Can't remember the last time I saw anything with a Clarion radio.
That's not bad going, that. That's a decent head unit for a lorry in 1994. A Clarion stereo tape deck head unit with 6 presets on it. Like, a lot of stuff would have been a lot more basic than that. That's quite reasonable.
Yeah.
So, spec-wise.
So I'm just wondering, do you think there's any podcast listeners who won't actually have seen a tape or know what one is?
Probably not. No, I'm going to say the average age of this podcast
is around our age.
Well over 30. We'll know what a tape is.
Yeah, I hope so. But I have to dig out my old tapes at some point.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I must have launched a... No, in fact, I know what I did. I sold them on eBay as a job lot. That's what I did with all my old cassette tapes.
Yeah.
One time, yeah, I just fired them all up and got sold them all. So, as people do, yeah, just to get some space. Because yeah. I've got a chest of drawers at home that's full of CDs, eh?
Yeah. They seem to be making a bit of a comeback, CDs as well, just...
Physical media.
Yeah.
So, you don't own it in these days. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as demonstrated by this weekend, the internet signal's been so bad... If you're going to want to try and stream some music while you're sat in a vehicle, you're not going to have much luck. Whereas I've got it's now a vintage iPod in my van, so I haven't got to worry about streaming. I can just push my button. I still think it's the height of technology, an iPod, but it's about 20 years old now, which is quite scary.
Yeah, the iPod's 20 years old, I think. 2005,
yeah.
I think they came in.
Yeah, mad, isn't it? Mad how quickly it goes. So, right, gents, I've taken up enough of your time. I better crack on and find some more willing people to speak to me.
No worries. Right, take care. Catch you soon. Cheers.
See you soon. Well, my final recording of the day is going to be with my good friend Michael Button, known as Mick or Biff. Now, we camped with a bunch of friends of mine from the Midland CB app channel, GBR Trucks. So we had Colgate, Toffee, Trev. Colgate is, it's not his real name, obviously, it's Gav, and Toffee is Ian, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, I was hoping to record with the group of them, and Whizzle as well, mustn't forget her, and there's a couple of others, Kev, so on and so forth. But unfortunately, we're very close to the tractor pulling, so recording was going to be exceptionally difficult. I had a few other bits and pieces I need to get done, and everything got packed away, and we're all sort of drifting off as it's the end of the show. So I'm sat here with Mick waiting to join the queue. So I just thought it'd be interesting to get a non-truck driver's perspective of the weekend. So Mick, if you'd like to tell my listener, what do you do as a day job? Because you're not involved in transport.
No, not in transport at all. I'm a boat builder by trade.
Yep.
So yeah, this is all completely new to me.
So it's actually your first ever truck show, isn't it?
Okay, completely, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been to many, many... classic vehicle show, shall we say.
Yep, steam fairs.
Yep, all that sort of stuff, done those.
Yep.
But this, I'd say this is a truck show, certainly my first one I've been to.
Yep.
I'm very impressed. Yes, yeah. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, even though you don't really know much about trucks as such.
these trucks are beautiful, but I do not know what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
But it's just a great day, great weekend away.
Yeah.
It helps to have Matt Arland explain to me what I'm looking at, which is, that was a great help.
Yeah.
but really enjoyed it.
Yeah. So any particular vehicles stand out to you that you can think of?
Good question. For me, the older the better.
Yep.
So I love the, was it the 34 ERF? The
1934 ERF, yep.
Thoroughly, really like that one.
Yep.
The Foden Steamer.
Yep. French's of Scotland.
Yep.
Yeah, the Foden Steamer. Beautiful, beautiful machine.
Absolutely glorious.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the other steam engines for me.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm going to have to say it, the Land Rovers, but that doesn't quite come into this podcast. But
yep. I mean, because you people won't know that he's a massive Land Rover enthusiast, as I know a few other listeners are. So, I've also been learning a little bit about Land Rovers. I knew a little bit, not a great deal. And I've managed to quite incorrectly guess several of them, but I've not been too far out, to be fair.
Well, it's been the same for me with trucks.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just pointing and getting all excited about tag axles now.
Yeah.
driver's hours and 8x4s or whatever you call them.
Well, they are actually called 8x4s, yeah, if it's a rigid. So, yeah, I'll get them there.
So I have learned.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a piece of wood.
No.
It's an actual
It is in rod.
It is, yeah. Absolutely.
It turns out it does something else as well.
Yeah. So as a non-truck person coming to, realistically, the most attended vehicles here are trucks by a long way. Although there's obviously tractors, vans, bikes, everything in between. It is kind of a truck show, mostly. Would you go to another truck show?
From this experience, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know you've been talking about Gaydon and things.
Yeah.
And I think it's September, did you say?
Yeah, the retro show's in September. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd seriously consider it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a non-truck person.
Complete non-truck. Again, like I said, I don't know what I'm looking at, but it's just a thoroughly enjoyable weekend.
Yeah. Lots of nice people.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I really have noticed. As someone who doesn't know anything about trucks, coming into this environment,
yeah,
people are so friendly.
Yeah.
Really welcoming. People will explain stuff to me. I've had no issues whatsoever.
Yeah.
Great atmosphere. Highly recommended.
Yeah. Yep. So, and would you come back to this, to Kelsall?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know we've certainly mentioned it, and I for sure would, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to come back next year, that's for certain. It's, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's after our first experience here, if you have not been before and you're considering it, get it in the diary. Make sure that you get the time off if you need it and get up here. I would suggest for the weekend, if you're not camping anything, look into hotels or something close by, because you could walk around it in a day, but you'd have to start fairly early and you wouldn't really be able to take everything in, I would say, in just one day. There is so much here to see and do. It's been a fantastic weekend. I've certainly thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah, big shout out to the GBR Trucks Midland CBAT group who we camped with and were exceptionally hospitable with breakfasts and coffees and whatnot. So thanks to all of them. And that about wraps up this edition of the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and we shall talk again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Truck and Driver podcast sponsored by Fortune Tyres. Fortune Tyres and International Tyres, bringing you innovation and reliability to support your operation. Learn more at internationaltyres.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tyres.